Mead is on the table for discussion, and our next guest provides that mead for the table. Nick Lawrence and his brother Philip are the founders of Nectar Creek, doing business in Corvallis. They're the ones who coined the phrase booze from bees, since, of course, mead is made from honey. Nick Lawrence, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So, baby steps to start. What is mead?
Absolutely. So, mead is a category of alcohol that's defined by the fermentation of honey. To expand a little bit, the way I like to describe it is you can think of all categories of alcohol are defined by where their fermentable sugar comes from. So beer would mean that the sugar from grain is fermented. Wine is a category, is anything made by fermenting fruit. And then mead is just any alcohol that's made from the sugar fermented from honey.
Does it come out carbonated? I mean, I notice it's served in beer bottles. Is it anything like beer in that sense?
Absolutely. You know, the variety and the potential of mead is really pretty limitless. And so they can be carbonated, they can be high in alcohol, they can be low in alcohol, they can be still. And so there's really a huge range of products that we can make from the honey.
Mead's got quite a history, apparently. Take us back.
Absolutely. So mead, as we know it, is the oldest purposely made and fermented alcoholic beverage in the world. And it's also the oldest written recipe that we've ever found to date. And the legend before that is that it was even making itself, you know, while there was nomads walking around. There's been honey around a lot longer than we've looked like we do today. And at one point, the honey was on, you know, a tree root or on a cliff face, and rain naturally diluted it. And while the yeast was able to ferment it, and someone was able to come up and drink it, it's like, wow, stuff makes me feel amazing. I think I am going to follow bees around.
That's what I'm thinking about now. These stories of people who discovered the first fermented beverages and went, well, that doesn't taste so good. Boy, it really made us feel weird. Let's do it again.
Exactly.
So it sounds like mead is really one of the first fermented drinks potentially known to humans.
At this point, that seems to be the case.
You mentioned that it can be really varied in alcohol content, carbonated or not. I mean, in general, is there a range in which mead tends to stick with alcohol content versus, say, wine or beer?
You know, not in particular. Something that we've done that's really stood us apart is we're making meads that you consume in a similar manner to a craft beer, craft cider. So the products that we make are typically in the 4% to 7% range, and they're carbonated and they're dry. So there's something you'd consume in that manner. But there's a lot of meads that are made higher ABV that are more comparable to a wine product, or even higher as more kind of like a dessert style wine, in the whole spectrum.
So tell us about the process, the ingredients and what you have to go through to be able to make mead.
Absolutely. In the simplest form, you know, it's really just a mixture of honey and water and then a yeast to ferment the sugar. A little bit more detail. For us, we do what we call an all cold brewing process. So we get big 55-gallon drums of honey, and they're all crystallized, rock hard, like if you left, you know, the honey in your cabinet on the shelf for a little bit too long. And we heat that honey up just so it's warm enough that it's liquid and we can use it. But that's no warmer than bees would naturally keep it in their beehive. From that, we add that to a tank with a bunch of cold water in it, and the ratio of honey to water is going to be what determines your alcohol content. From there, we'll pitch a yeast. We use a yeast that's really similar to a fruity white wine yeast. And then this is kind of the difficult process for us, because honey doesn't have the nutrients that yeast want to produce the flavors and essentially have healthy fermentation. And so what we have to do to be able to make a really clean and good-tasting product is really monitor the fermentation on a daily basis. And that's doing everything from nutrient additions to making sure that the yeast are healthy and happy to making sure we have the proper temperature so the right flavors are being produced.
The ratio you mentioned is what makes the difference in alcohol content. What's a general range of the ratios of cold water to honey?
Absolutely. For our products, it's actually about 9-to-1 water to honey. Honey starts, depending on the variety of honey, the sugar content will vary a little bit, but it'll start at about 80 Brix. So it's predominantly just sugar. And because of that, you know, it doesn't take a lot to be able to produce something that's still 7% alcohol.
We're talking to Nick Lawrence from Corvallis. He and his brother Philip are the founders of Nectar Creek, which makes mead, among other beverages. You can join us on the exchange. Maybe you got some questions about this ancient beverage in modern form. 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Nick, you didn't always make mead, apparently. Your brother started with beer. What got you guys started down the mead road?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a fun story that I'll tell you guys. It started when my brother was about 16 years old, and like many 16-year-olds, he got caught by his mother drinking. And her response, as opposed to grounding him or whatever else it was, you know, you're going to be exposed to this stuff the rest of your life, and you need to know where it comes from and how to control it and how to make it. And so at 16, my brother took one of his first paychecks and went to the local brewing supply store and got his first homebrew kit and started making beer. And at that point, he started teaching me how to make beer, and I was helping him out, and I'm 4 years younger than him, so I wasn't even a teenager, and the two of us were making beer together.
Did your mom allow you to sample it at all?
You know, I...
Did your mom know?
I did not. I'm sure my brother did. Mm-hmm. But from that point, as we got older in Oregon, you can't really avoid the craft beer culture, and so we got much more serious about it, and then by the time we were both going through college, we were both doing it a little bit more seriously. Both of us had jobs around it. I was working in the apple orchards, doing fermentation work, helping make brandy. My brother got his degree at the university at Hampshire College in a combination of apiary science, which is beekeeping, and then fermentation science. Mm-hmm. And my brother actually started beekeeping, and he worked for a big commercial bee farm in Corvallis called Queen Bee, where he was one of their first employees. And when he started working with them, they had about 1,000 beehives. And when he stopped working for them about 8 years later, they had closer to 5,000 beehives. And for us, our dream and our goal was always to marry our interest of agriculture and fermentation. And we kind of had this idea that's all around value-added agriculture. And, you know, if you sell strawberries, that's really great, but you only have, you know, so many weeks or a month that they're ripe. If you make strawberry jam, you have a whole year to sell them. And so that was kind of the foundation of our idea of doing some kind of value-added agriculture. And the mead was just a really natural marriage of our interest in agriculture and our interest in fermentation.
You guys almost sound like the pickling people from Portlandia. Instead of "we can pickle that," it's "we can ferment that for you."
We could try. If it's got sugar in it, I'm sure we could.
So the slogan I noticed is "Mead for the Masses." What are you proposing to do with mead?
Absolutely. You know, our goal has been to make mead an approachable and an understood category. And in the past, mead commercially hasn't been made a lot. And part of the reason has been because honey is an expensive sugar source. And unfortunately, we in our Western society typically like to take the cheapest and easiest way out. And so for a long time, we've been doing our fermentation with other products and other sugar sources. And so our focus has been introducing a style of mead that's approachable to people in how it tastes, in how light it is, in its alcohol content, and even its price point. The commercial meads that were available before we were around were products that were more similar to a wine product. And so they were anywhere from 14 to 18%. They were typically pretty still, typically pretty sweet, and typically a little bit more expensive. You know, 30 bucks for a bottle wasn't rare. And that's not something that's kind of an everyday beverage.
So it seems like a part of the mead for the masses is the fact that you seem to bottle it in beer-style bottles.
Absolutely. You know, there's some legal laws around why we have to put it in those bottles. But the other reason that we do that is just kind of teaching people how to drink it. You know, there's so many people that we interact with that have never heard of the word mead before. And they ask questions, you know, how do I drink it? What temperature do I drink it? What kind of glassware? And our labels and our bottles are all part of our thought process in helping with that education, that if it's in a beer bottle and it's on the shelf along beer and cider, that kind of teaches people, hey, I should probably keep this cold and drink in a similar manner to these products.
How, you know, granted, the radio is not the best place to perhaps talk about the tastes of alcoholic beverages or anything else for that matter. How would you describe the taste? I mean, what can you compare it to?
You know, it's really hard to compare the taste to anything. You know, I would just recommend people go out and find a bottle and try it themselves. To try to describe it, you know, we start with all raw honey. So every single one of our products has a slight taste of honey. I'll describe our wildflower product, which is called Waggle. And wildflower is really simply the variety of honey. So the only ingredients in it are honey and water. And wildflower honey that we get in the Willamette Valley is known to be pretty fruity and pretty floral. And so you get this light aroma that's fruity, that's floral, that has these characteristics of honey. And then on your tongue, our product is very light, very refreshing, very clean tasting. And you'll get just this faint aftertaste of just raw honeycomb, you know, as if you were eating raw honey in combination with some of these fruity flavors that you get out of the wildflower honey.
Now, and I know you guys go by Mead for the Masses, but is there a particular mead drinker you have in mind at Nectar Creek, male, female, younger, older, somewhere and where?
You know, we've found success everywhere. I've been really surprised by where our product has taken off and who we found do really well with it. When we first got going, you know, the natural place for our product was kind of the natural food stores, or the health food stores, the Whole Foods and the Market of Choices and the local co-ops, because they're all aware that honey has different shapes, comes from different flowers and has different flavors. They're also aware that, you know, raw honey is an important thing. And so those stores kind of knew a little bit about our product when we were able to present it to them. And then also the consumer there, and it's a little bit more discerning, was able to understand our product and understand that it's a gluten-free product, it's really light, it's much lower in calorie than what you'd find typically in a beer. And so that's kind of a lot of where we got going. But since then, you know, we've found our product in dive bars where, you know, you find mostly domestic beers such as Budweiser and Coors on tap, and our product's really thriving at places like that even.
All right, which brings up this question from Maggie in Medford. Welcome to The Exchange with Nick Lorenz.
Hey, I just tuned in, and I probably missed this, but you kind of touched on it a second ago. But I'd love to get some of that, some of your mead products locally. And you had mentioned the co-ops. Do they both carry them?
Absolutely. So the places I can think of off the top of my head down there are the Medford Co-op, mm-hmm. Ashland Co-op, the Shop and Cart,
all right,
and the Market of Choice. And then there's also a place called Oberon's down there, and their tavern that always carries our wildflower mead.
Oh, that's right there on the plaza in Ashland. Okay, thanks for the question, Maggie. And boy, these varieties are interesting. There's actually a kumquat mead.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So we've played with a lot of different stuff, and so we have a flagship lineup, and we currently have a wildflower mead that I was just describing that's available. We have a sting, which is our ginger mead, and then we have cluster, which is a cranberry strawberry mead. Those are products that we have available year-round. We also have a variety of seasonal products, and we have three products that we rotate seasonally. And that's a hibiscus mead, which is called Festoon, a raspberry mead called Brood, and then a hops mead called Honeycomb. And then from that specialty lineup, or from that flagship lineup, we also do a series of specialty products. And so we always try to, you know, do something fun and unique. And those can be barrel aged meads.
Mm-hmm.
Those could be sour mead, similar to sour beers that you could get, where we're using Brettanomyces or Lactobacillus to do our fermentation. Or we did a kumquat mead, as you mentioned. And the kumquat mead was made from actually local kumquats to Corvallis that we really wanted to do a citrus mead, but we had been pretty adamant about sourcing as many of the ingredients locally as we could.
Wow, ever versatile.
And
Yeah. So,
of course, in the Willamette Valley, we don't get very much citrus.
That is true. All right. Well, a lot of work going on there in the Willamette Valley with Nick Lorenz and his brother Philip at Nectar Creek. Thanks so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Take it easy.